So would this argument about depth and span then make you an integrally informed vegetarian? I mean, because clearly you're then eating and consuming and causing less harm at lower levels of depth.
Yes, I think that is part of an argument for vegetarianism. Again, it gets a little bit more complicated because if you take, we'll take a fairly easy case just to get the point across. The Dalai Lama comes from a climate where animal fat is almost imperative for survival. You can't live on grapes in the Himalayas, even when you can find them, which is not that often. So on the other hand, if you're from Polynesia and you have a genetic makeup that's from the equatorial regions, your physiology can handle a vegetarian, even fruitarian diet much more easily. So every time the Dalai Lama gets off roast beef, he gets deathly ill. So again, you have to take all of these things into account. Is the depth of the Dalai Lama and others like him, or the whole Tibetan people for that matter, greater than the depth of, you know, cows or animals that are used to sustain them? I would say yes, on balance, that is acceptable under those circumstances. That's my intuition of the basic moral intuition. But my point, it's an intuition. Other people will say, no, you know what, it's wrong. I read it differently. My intuition is entirely wrong. You shouldn't eat animals under any circumstances. I have an interesting sort of compromise that I always thought made sense was Treya's approach to this, which was she would only eat animals that she herself could kill. And I thought that was very interesting because it was her way to draw the line at depth. In other words, there's a certain depth that she just could not go beyond and eat. So could she kill a fish? Yes. Could she kill a shrimp? Yes. A snail? Yes, you can have snails when you go to a French restaurant. Would she kill right up to around a chicken and a turkey? It gets kind of iffy. Above that, a deer, a cow, she couldn't kill that. She wouldn't eat it. And what she was intuitively doing was judging depth. And when depth got to a certain point, she said, that's it. The equation now is out. I can't do that. Now, that makes a certain amount of sense to me as well. The whole point about this is there is no one right answer. You can't just say, yes, we draw the line at shrimp. And I myself am comfortable right up to around that same level. And beyond that, I'm not very comfortable with it. So that's how I draw the line also.
Well, what's interesting to me is that you're using this basic moral intuition to get people to think versus some kind of rule that you're laying down that you can just
exactly,
like, you know, use it like two sides of a ruler and come up with a pat answer.
And what we're trying to do is have people think about both depth and span. So in other words, we don't want to just enter one of them into an equation. If you just talk about span, then it's the greatest good for the greatest numbers, and you get that very kind of flatland thing. And then it's hard to say, well, then viruses win because they have the most votes and they're sentient beings and they're, you know. So that, but there are a lot of ethical theories that want to do that, and you kind of have to watch out for that. So that's the extreme at that version is kind of a political communism, so to speak, where sort of just everybody is equal. Nobody gets to be any better at all, and that's sort of one extreme. And on depth, it has a downside. Depth is all fascism has kind of, you know, we're the strongest, we're the deepest, we have, and everybody else is worthless. So we get to whack them or kill them or invade them or gas them or whatever it is. That's the downside of just looking at depth. So what I'm saying is, no, you know what, both of these, there's depth and there's span. And the basic moral intuition is that you want to increase the greatest depth for the greatest span. That's what I think is actually happening. That's what I think should happen. And it stops you from being either a fascist or a communist. You're not allowed to do just one or just the other because both of them are important. And that to me is very interesting. And I think we're faced with those dilemmas all the time anyway. And one of the sort of last reasons that I think it's good to at least think about it is that in our times we have kind of an egalitarianism, which in many ways is very healthy and is great, but we also strip depth out of all discussion. So everybody's just sort of supposed to be the same and really not supposed to think about depth. And I think that has its own real downsides that can be just as sort of totalitarian and domineering in its own way. And so just thinking about depth becomes important. And you can't really rank human beings, but you can rank the levels of consciousness that they might display. So you can never really say one human being is higher or lower than another, but you can say level 6 is higher than level 4. And any human being can be on any of these levels. Nobody's, you know, this is not genetically fixed. You're not in some sort of caste system. So we're never really judging human beings, or sentient beings for that matter, but we are judging levels of consciousness, levels of moral development, and the greater the depth, the more value it has.
Well, the problem with applying the depth rule of the side of the equation is who's doing the applying?
That's one of the great, great difficulties. But you see, the people that use the span side, they draw the line at certain depth anyway. So even the animal rights activists have their own version of depth, because they'll go down so far and they'll say, and actually the common one is down to shrimp. Everything down to shrimp is equal. Under shrimp, apparently, for some reason, not. And you're allowed to whack them or eat them or shoot them or something. But so that's their own judgment of depth. And what I'm saying is that we really are doing that all the time. We have to take it into account. But absolutely, if you then look at things like moral stages of development or the Claire Graves or Abe Maslow's, any of those kinds of rankings can be abused, obviously. And that's what you have to be very, very careful about. Nonetheless, if there are developmental lines and streams, it's happening anyway. These developmental unfoldings are occurring anyway. And all I'm saying is we need to take those into account. We hold it very lightly. I mean, I would never go in and say, I know you're at moral stage 5 and this person is moral stage 3 and therefore we're going to, you know, not be nice to this moral stage 3 person. And also, everybody's born at moral stage 1. And all of these lower stages are ingredients of the higher stages. They're all important. You can't get rid of any of them. That's the other thing about depth and span. You really have to keep all of the, quote, lower stages around. Just like if you're a cell, you've got a vested interest in seeing that atoms and molecules continue to exist. Because if they don't, you're dead. And that's why you can't just, you know, champion the higher levels. It's meaningless. Levels 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 all are important. And that's why an integral view insists on looking at all of them. And depth times span means take all of them into account.